Welcome to the special edition NEF weigh-in show. We are here at the Sea Dog in Bangor getting ready for NEF 30 tomorrow at the Cross Insurance Center. Here with Brian Stackpole at the Sea Dog. It's such a big day here today. Yep. All the fighters are eagerly anticipating stepping on to the scale and most certainly eagerly anticipating getting to rehydrate and eat.
Exactly. And the best part about it, everyone made weight except for Jessica Borga. It was going to be a catch weight anyways. We knew that going into it today. So that's the good news. It's like the UFC card last week. We were all just anticipating that hopefully everyone was able to be there and healthy and also to make weight so you didn't ruin some of the title shots. And that's exactly what we had here today. There were some close ones, but when all was said and done, we have all the title fights underweight, which is going to be great. And I can't wait. Ryan, what is going to be the most anticipated fight for you? We don't want to break them down, for instance. We'll do that afterwards, after they happen. But which is the fight for you that you're saying, I need to see this coming up on Saturday night?
You know, honestly, to me, the one that stands out, well, there's two, and I gotta say both of them. The main event, Mike Hansen and CJ Ewer, I think that's going to be a really, really interesting fight. I think both guys are very, very skilled and well-rounded. That should be an exciting main event. Also, I want to see Aaron Lacy versus Brian Goldsby. All due respect to a lot of the opponents that Aaron has faced, I just feel like Aaron has been on another level than most of the guys that he's competed against. I think this guy, Brian Goldsby, is coming to fight. And if you saw him at the weigh-ins, this guy is he's shredded. Yep. Ripped isn't even the word. He's shredded. And so this is going to be an interesting test. He's got a lot more experience than Aaron. And Aaron's going to really have to, come to fight. And I expect that he will. So I think both of those two fights stand out to me.
You know, you picked two instead of one.
Well, I mean, that's why this card's so good. I can't just pick one. What do you want from me?
You know what's one that I'm going to pick out just to be a little different that I think is really intriguing? The Angela Young with her retirement, too, saying this is going to be her final competitive mixed martial arts fight against Jessica the Black Widow Borga. But I'm excited to see how Carlton Charles, who looked really good at the weigh-in, fares against Josh Jones, who we don't know too much about Josh just because he's ended his fight super quick. But I'm excited to see if maybe either Carlton can continue this a little bit longer than he's used to or what have you. But I'm just excited to see how that one can parlay, because those could be two very good fighters down the road.
That's right. And again, it's Josh Jones, not Josh Jackson.
You'll find that out later. Well, we got a lot of good stuff coming your way. We'll have multiple fighters. I'll just run down the list of people we'll have on here, and you'll hear them throughout the show. It'll be Mike the Mustache Hansen coming up. We'll have Ryan Sanders, his opponent Jay Ellis, talking about his story. We'll hear from Walt Shea and Josh Jones. We'll hear from Carlton Charles as well, and the Black Widow Jessica Borga. We'll hear from Bert Falero and Pete Zimbor as well. So many great guests. Let's not waste any time. Let's go right into it and get ready for this big NEF 30 card.
All right, we are here at the NEF 30 Rumble in Bangor weigh-ins with Carlton Charles, fighting out of Charles Family Fighting. This is his debut fight, and he's fighting Josh Jones, a first-class MMA in an amateur bout at 185 pounds. Carlton, how was the weigh-in? How are you feeling now that you've had a chance to rehydrate?
I actually feel good. I started cutting a while ago, so it wasn't really a complete drainage on my body. Obviously, it was a little hard, a little difficult, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It ended up being 2 pounds under, so that was pretty good.
What do you normally walk around at?
I initially started this cut at 208, but before that, I had originally come down from like 240 from playing football, so it wasn't too crazy, but I mean, I guess it's a lot of weight in a short amount of time.
Speaking of football, what made you decide to get into this crazy game of mixed martial arts compared to being on the gridiron every Saturday or Friday?
I had always loved watching mixed martial arts coming up in high school and all that. My brother had his own gym and all that. He was competing in the NEF as well. But, I mean, I just always loved the competitiveness of it. And I figured, you know, I tried the football thing for a while and didn't end up working out, so I was like, you know what, maybe this isn't the path I'm supposed to go on. So I was like, I don't want to just throw my athleticism away and be like, yeah, I'm done with sports. So I decided, you know, might as well give this a try.
So this being your debut fight here, what's harder, a double session on the football field or twice a day workouts on the MMA mats?
I don't know. I guess it's different. I don't know if one's harder than the other one, but they're definitely different. Like, the span of cardio I need in a fight is a lot different than the short bursts of like cardio, hard hitting of football. I mean, obviously you get hit hard in MMA, but it's a lot different.
What do you think is going to be your main emphasis once you get in the cage? Are you going to, have you been working on your ground game? Do you think it's going to be more of a stand up versus Josh?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. We've been working ground a lot. We're not really sure what he has on the ground because of his first two fights were so quick and they're both standing. He obviously has great striking and he has great power, so that's something I'm very aware of and I got to be careful with so I don't go in there and get caught.
Now, obviously there's been a lot of hype for Josh coming into this fight with the 4-second knockout getting national attention. How is your confidence going into this fight? Even though it's your debut fight, you know, you've competed at a high level playing football at UMaine. How do you feel right now going into this, this your debut?
I feel pretty confident. My coaches got me ready. You know, I trained with my brother. I trained with Jeff Provost up in Mexico, Maine. I've been done a little bit of stuff with Mike Hansen and Jason Bell up in Rumford. Go to Augusta, some Muay Thai with Nate Mullins. So, you know, there's a lot of people. I got my condition cardio coach, Rich. There's a lot of people that have been helping me out, so I feel like I'm ready.
Now, is there any rivalry since you're a black bear, he's an eagle, his sport's basketball coming into this, your sport's football?
I don't know. I haven't really felt like there's a rivalry. I mean, obviously, football and basketball, they're not the same kind of clash. I mean, up in Orono, football and basketball players got along. It was more like the hockey players that were we were sometimes a little difficult with. But, I mean, I feel like a lot of that has gone away. But, I mean, UMaine and Husson were such different schools. I don't really feel like there's a rivalry. I guess, I mean, if you want to make it sport rivalry, then, yeah, I guess it could be.
So what else have you been doing outside of training, getting ready for this fight? Are you, I don't know if you're done with school now, or do you have a full-time job?
Yeah, I'm done with school, and I currently work for mainly Tubbs and Scarborough. I'm a service technician. They've been really great, too. I wanted to give them a little shout-out with allowing me to leave early work and go train and understand that I'll need days off. They've been really great. Before that, I was a correctional officer in Wyndham for a little while. But, yeah, mainly Tubbs have been amazing with understanding what I've needed time off.
Now, when you step in for the cage, into the cage for the first time, do you think there's going to be any nerves, or what do you think that experience is going to be when you first do put that either right or left foot into the cage?
There's definitely going to be nerves. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to try to do my best to control them, but it's definitely going to – I'll definitely be nervous. I should be decently all right, having played football, but – I've never had that amount of focus on me, just me, as, you know, there's 11 people on the field in a football game, so.
Do you get the itch for football, too? I know, like, Ryan over here has been itching to watch football. He even sat down and watched the Hall of Fame game a little bit yesterday, too. Do you always have that, kind of, once the fall season starts to roll around, camps?
Yeah. Watching a lot of, when I go on Twitter or Facebook, you start to see, like, last year's highlights come up more and stuff. So I've been getting real excited to watch that, especially UMaine. I'm a lot more into college football than the NFL. It's probably just because stuff didn't work out with the NFL, so I'm biased. But, yeah, I'm definitely excited. I'm definitely excited for UMaine this year. They're looking real good. I'm about to probably go up there after this, see a little bit of practice.
Now, what are your goals with MMA? After this fight, win, lose, or draw, what is it ultimately that you want to accomplish in the sport?
I just want to try to be the best fighter I can be. If I lose, I'm not going to just walk away and be done. This is something I want to continue on in and something I can see myself doing for a while.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this fight. I know Josh hasn't had a lot of cage time, and you're going to be making your debut, but I think a lot of people will be having their eyes glued to this amateur bout, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. I hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Carlton. And we are here now joined by the Ryan Sanders of Young's MMA, who has a tough fight on his hands against Jay Ellis in a professional 170-pound bout tomorrow night at NEF 30 at the Cross Insurance Center. How was the weight cut, man?
I woke up with 1 pound to cut, and today's the best day of my life.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's going to be hard. I don't know if you guys have been watching out in California. They just passed that new, 165. So, I'm going to be the first in the Northeast to say I'm starting the 165 weight class. Who wants to join me?
Because at least you could have the fun of a cut, but not necessarily have to go down to 155, yeah, but, which looked like a, not necessarily struggle, but it looked like it wore down.
No, it's death. Yeah. It's death. 55 is death to me, literally.
You know what, though? You really seem to be in a lot better spirit, and you look better than you did a year ago when we saw you at the Ramada for the weigh-ins. Mm. Why was this an easier weight cut than last year?
Well, last year was at 55. That's why. I mean, 170. I walk around just north of 80, like 183 or so. So getting down to 170, it takes me about 5 days of just, you know, cutting back carbs and cutting back sodium and stuff like that. To make 55, it is a three-week ordeal. And I literally mean ordeal of, like, slowly cutting out carbs into the point where I have the last 5 days is really... I wouldn't even say it's like I can't really work out. I can't push myself because the second I start going, my body just says, like, hey, we got to go. We got to stop. So this is the great thing about fighting at 170. I was literally going hard to the end, and I didn't have to sacrifice my training to make 170. So honestly, I think my next few fights, I'm going to have to really think about it, but I think it's going to be 165, 170.
That brought up the point I was going to just ask you is – what if the opportunity, though, arises and Dana says, the Tuesday Contender Series, we want you, but we need you to fight at 155? You
would
take that,
I would kill myself.
Okay.
For Dana. Dana, for you, I'd kill myself. So.
And you feel like you're pretty close to it, too, right, to having Dana White call you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm just always being ready in the gym. After this fight, I'll be back in there immediately because this is my mindset, is I'm going to beat this guy up tomorrow night, beat him good, make it impressive. Make an impression, and then let Dana know that I'm ready for his Tuesday night series. Get on there, beat that guy's ass, and then get my foot in the door. And from there, the rest will be history. And you guys heard it here first. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, you keep running through all your opponents. I mean, you've looked like a world beater lately. And this guy that you're fighting now, Jay Ellis, he's got a lot of experience. You know, he's been doing this for a while now. What does he bring to the table? What kind of style are you expecting to see tomorrow night?
You know, he is a gamer. You know, he is a gamer. It seems like he's a gamer until you give him a reason to quit. That's what I do. That's my MO, is I give guys reasons to quit. I take their souls. And so I expect them to come out hard, and then I'm going to be right there. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to say, hey, yo. No, I'm going to give him right back to him, and then I'm going to let him know that you messed up by stepping in the cage with the baddest dude, because I am. I feel like I'm the baddest dude right now, and that's what I'm going to show him. It'll be a good fight for a couple minutes, and then I'll impose my will, and the fight will be over, and I'll go drink a beer. I'll buy him a beer, and then we'll celebrate. And then I'm just going to sit and hopefully wait till Dana gets a hold of me.
I got a couple questions. First, I know it's the Ryan Sanders, but how about the Reaper? Because you're taking souls.
Hey, yeah, that's not a bad one.
It's not bad.
Robert Whittaker, he has that name.
I'm a huge fan of Robert Whittaker because I think the only person, like Robert Whittaker, his coaches and his family are the only ones that thought he would beat...
Yoel Romero?
Yoel
hey,
Romero.
One of us picked Robert Whittaker. Would you
okay,
care to
well,
guess who it was?
Let's put it this way. It was a good fight regardless.
Great
I
fight.
Think we can agree on that.
Yeah. But, you know, that guy was a world-class athlete, world-class Olympian, and Whittaker took it to him and beat him, you know. Towards the end, when Romero gassed, he gassed. It's like, and they poured it on. That's what you do. I mean, when you face those challenges, and I feel like I can do that. I just feel with the... like, I'm only getting better. I was a top 10 guy. In my head, I was a top 10 guy just as a grappler. But I went back and I worked on my wrestling. I've really been focused on my striking, and I'm getting better. And I was competing with these guys in the region as just a grappler. But now I'm a full MMA fighter. So everyone, you know, is effed.
Is there a sort of mentality, do you want that knockout? We were talking just a couple of days ago, and you said you've only knocked out one person. Is that something you'd like to do and put another achievement
on
your
belt? It would be nice to let people know that I am more than just a grappler. Like, I want them to be fearful of, wow, wherever we put Ryan, whether it's in a wrestling situation, a grappling situation, or striking situation, you're going to have your hands filled. And that's what I want to give off. And I want people to know that I have good hands. I have good, you know, takedown defense. I have good takedown offense. I can grapple on top. I can grapple on bottom. I want them to know that there is no easy out when you go against Ryan Sanders.
What's the beer choice, too, after the fight?
You guys are going to smack me around. And it's, my wife says this is not real beer, but Bud Light. I'm an American classic type of guy. I stick with Bud Light.
Okay. Have you ever had Allagash White?
I have not had Allagash. I just started to expand my horizon. And so pretty much when I go to the local pubs, like Gagans or anything like that, Mason's across the way, I just tell them the closest thing to Bud Light that you have. And once they get done snickering at me like this, I start drinking. Yeah. Or they bring me water.
Are you like Brock Lesnar, though? You're going to get some Bud Light money maybe down the line?
Hey, we'll see. I'm going to drink Bud Light because Coors Light won't pay me.
Man. Well, you got to try an Allagash White. Next time you have a chance, Allagash Brewing Company is down in Portland. Hands down, for my money, it's the best beer out there right now. So
I do like Sea Dogs, the summer ale that they offer, and then also Sebago Sunfish is also delicious. So I have started to expand my horizon a little bit.
That is true. You can't forget the blueberry weed ale.
Exactly.
That's right.
Our
there,
favorites,
too.
Yeah.
But that's been around forever. Yes. So it's just Allagash was just one of those things that's kind of newer.
And in a few months, Pumpkinhead.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
Very good
Shipyard.
Stuff.
Yes.
Yep. Ryan, before we let you go, too, I want to talk a little bit about your teammates, too. It's a loaded Young's card. There's going to be six fighters here on this one, including Angela Young, and, of course, the announcement yesterday that was made that this is going to be her last fight. Just some thoughts on her and training with her and Chris.
Angie is the real deal. Okay, so we pretty much Shark Tanked her last week. There was 12 minutes straight, a new person every time. It went male, female, and she stuck in there the whole time. It was just her in the middle the whole time for 12 minutes straight, and we literally tried breaking her, and she refused to quit. And it showed me right there that she is the real, you know, a lot of people kind of, I think there's a lot of people in this sport that are fake ass. You're gonna have to edit that out, but that's how I feel. Angie is not one of them. Angie is a killer, and she's gonna show this. Like, she's an underdog on paper and whatnot, and people are like, oh, this Borgata, she's like 5-3, and Angie is the real deal. She's a killer, and you're gonna see that tomorrow night. Aaron Lacy is a killer, and you're gonna see that tomorrow night. And Fred is like, Fred will literally be like, I'm not that athletic. And then the next thing I know, we're wrestling, and he has me up sideways in the midair. And I'm like, you know, I would kill to be able to do that stuff. And Fred's like, I'm not that good. So I have to smack him upside the head and tell him, you know, you're crazy. All the guys I train with and all the women, they're all killers. And that's why I really feel like I'm not just, you know, this is a bit biased maybe, but Young's MMA is the best gym, hands down, in New England. You're going to see it tomorrow night. That's why.
This is going to be a weird question, but Fred shaved his chest?
Yeah.
Any reason? Just more svelte, more wind resistance?
Aerodynamics. He is a lot quicker now, and also I think he lost half a pound by doing it.
That's what I was going to say. Because swimmers, they would shave everything to make it easier for them to get through. And, you know, he'd have to lose a little bit of weight.
Yeah,
right?
And that's what he did. He literally probably lost half a pound by doing that.
Prediction?
For me?
Yeah.
My fight is going to be a first round submission, because I love those submissions. I love letting the guy know that he's like, I don't have anything left. I give up. Then Aaron is going to win by knockout. CJ Ewer is going to win by TKO ref stoppage. They're literally going to have to pull that animal off that guy. Fred's going to win by submission in the second. And Angie's going to win decision. That's what's up.
Love it.
I love it, too. It's going to be another great night here at Bangor, the Cross Insurance Center, for NEF 30. The Ryan Sanders, thank you as always.
Thank you.
All right, we're back here with Jay Ellis, the silent assassin who made his way all the way from the Midwest, Milwaukee, to be here in Maine. We were just talking. You're enjoying Maine so far, huh, Jay?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What are your thoughts here just in this general vicinity of Bangor? I've grown up here. I've lived here my whole life, so I'm not good to be putting it in perspective, but how do you like the state?
Right now, I like it. It's a real nice environment. The people are nice. Just a nice environment where I can just focus on my fight, just get ready for tomorrow.
Take us back into how you started in mixed martial arts. What got you that bug to start this career?
Watching the Hoist Gracie fight, he was a great inspiration, because I seen how a little guy can beat a big guy, and the moves that he was putting the man to get him like that, and it was awesome. So I was going to learn jiu-jitsu right away. I trained with Henry Matamoros, then I trained with Duke Rufus. Out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Let's go into this, too. You fought so much. What goes into the mentality of fighting? Like, I think you fought 3 times in 3 weeks one time. Why do you fight so frequently?
I fight frequently because I just love getting in there. I haven't completed my goal yet. You know what I mean? That's to be in, like, a big high show. I don't care that you put me up against anybody. I mean, I fought guys at 215 pounds. I'm walking around 160. You know what I mean? You call me, I'm there, I'm ready. I'm training.
Do you feel like Cowboy Cerrone, basically, where you're ready to go, your game, I'm going to fight anyone at any time just because that's your fighter's mentality?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you fought in who's who. You fought in so many UFC guys that are extremely well-known. How much confidence does it give you knowing that you've stepped into the cage against guys that have competed at the top level? And again, you know, when you ultimately want to achieve your goal, how does that drive you to keep you going, keep you training and competing?
Right, because, I mean, a lot of guys I fought in the past, I mean, there was some tough guys like Anthony Pettis, Daniel Strauss, guys like that. They improved my game. They made me more confident in going into the cage now, because I know that this guy's not going to come with what this guy came with in the past, and I'm prepared to, like I said, I've seen everything there is to see in the cage, so I'm pretty much ready.
Talk about the area of the northern Midwest, so to speak. It seems like there's just really breeds tough SOBs. Like, I know Brock Lesnar was originally from there, too.
Yeah.
Or at least went to school in that area. Minnesota. What is it about it that just brings out and gets great fighters from that area?
Man, just the toughness, the grit, man. We just got that heart, man. Just the mentality of us, man. We just want to fight and compete to the highest level. And I mean, and in the Midwest, a lot of tough guys, a lot of wrestlers out there, tough, good wrestlers. And that's what made, I don't know, man, that's what drives me, you know what I mean, to get better and better, seeing them guys fight and seeing them train. Yeah.
And so what does a training camp look like for you? How many times a day are you in the gym? And are you one of those guys that likes to go 6-7 days a week? Or do you dial it back a little bit and train maybe 4 or 5 days a week, but just go hard the days that you go?
I train 6 days a week. I have a job also. So I'm trying to split it up. I work, then I train at night.
Wow, and you've been doing it for a very long time, and right. You got a really tough opponent here at NEF 30 and Ryan Sanders. What do you know about him? What do you expect him to bring to the cage?
Well, I know about Ryan. He's one of a straightforward guy. He likes to throw crazy kicks. I've seen a lot of his fights. He doesn't have any hands. I mean, he likes to come at you with these crazy kicks, and he likes to clinch up. I think I have an advantage over him with my hands. I got great hand power, got hand speed, and I seen his loss to Michael Benjamin Page. He caught him with that right hand. He came in, boom. So that's what I'm expecting to do also.
So you're going to try to do something like
Venom Page? I'm keeping the standard for sure.
Oh, very nice.
I'm looking for him to come at me. You know what I mean, he's not like a weight back fighter. You know what I mean, he likes to come at you. It seems that's what I've seen in his last fights.
We know some fighters like to give predictions. Do you have some sort of a prediction for Saturday night?
Yes. I predict that he's going to come in with these crazy kicks. I'm going to sit back in the pocket, left, right. I'm going to rock him. He's going to be confused. I'm finishing him off.
First round.
Not playing no games.
Love it.
First round.
What would be the ideal amount of fights you would do in one calendar year? If you were able to do as many fights as you want to do, how many would it be? Because we've seen some
I'll fight every weekend if possible.
So you would like to do 52 theoretically,
yes,
if you could.
Every weekend.
Geez. Do you ever take a vacation? Do you ever take any time away and just say, I'm going to sit back this weekend and maybe watch some TV after training?
I never have no major injuries. I've been cut just once out of all my fights. Yeah. No broken bones. I'm healthy. I'm ready to go.
What do you do to relax? Like, what do you do away from the MMA scene?
Just working, man. I work and fighting, man. That's just my mentality, bro.
And how old are you now?
I'm 33.
You're 33, and you've had 82 fights. I'm trying to figure out what that averages out to for a year, how many fights that is for a year. But when did you start fighting? How old were you?
2005.
2005.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been doing this for a while now. So 12 years and 82 fights.
Yeah.
That is quite a number of fights to have in such a in the big picture. It's a short period of time.
All right.
How long do you want to fight till, like, age-wise?
I want to fight till I'm 45 years old.
Okay, so you still have a long career ahead of you,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Very
so
nice. You're
going
to be the Tom Brady of the MMA world. You're going to stay right there until yep. You're in your mid-40s. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
Last question I have for you. Will there be lobster on the menu at some point for you here in the state of Maine? Because we're known for our lobsters and blueberries, so I have to ask.
Okay, yeah, I'm down for it.
Gonna get some lobster?
Yeah, I'm down.
All right, beautiful. Well, we look forward to your battle against Ryan Sanders, who's 14-8 at Young's MMA. You're gonna be the heel, so to speak. You're not gonna get a lot of cheers. Is
right,
that gonna
of course.
Impact you at all?
No, I'm used to it. I'm
yeah.
used to it.
Beautiful. Well, we're looking forward to it. It's gonna be a great brawl. Jay, thank you very much for your time.
Well, sure. Thank you.
The heat is on, the summer is here, and there are so much fun things to do in this area, but you know what you need to do first and foremost? You need to have a good, enjoyable dining experience with really good food, because you know what? That's first and foremost on my summer wish list. Yeah, it's getting a nice tan, it's working on the summer body, but it's also enjoying some of these great food items at the Sea Dog on the Front Street in Bangor. If you know me a little bit, you know I'm not one to really stray off of the burgers or the grilled cheese or whatnot. And that's why there's these perfect items here that can mix something I'm very familiar with something also I'm going to enjoy, like this lobster grilled cheese. It's sourdough grilled cheese with a lobster salad in the mix. So I get the comfort I have with a grilled cheese, but I can also include a little lobster. Get a little on the wild side there. How about a crab cake BLTA? Yeah, it's a crab cake served on a house bun with bacon, lettuce, tomato, and avocado. Oh, that sounds so good. There's so many great items at the Sea Dog at Front Street in Bangor for you to try, like a baked stuffed lobster entree as well, panko salmon, skewered tips, chicken and artichoke pasta. I'm just salivating thinking about all these things on the new 2017 Sea Dog Summer Menu. Go check it out for yourself. Tell them the Main Event sent you, and go try out some of these delicious, delicious items and wash it down with a nice, tasty beer. I would recommend the Blue Paw. It's my absolute favorite. One of the first beers I ever consumed as a legal, consenting 21-year-old who was able to buy alcohol. It was one of the Sea Dog Blue Paws. Absolutely one of my favorites. I'm actually going to go out there and buy one immediately after the show. We got to get some business done. But once this is over, I'm going to go get a Sea Dog Blue Paw because it sounds delightful on a nice summer day like today. Go check him out. Sea Dog on the Front Street in Bangor.
Joining us now is the head coach of Young's MMA, Chris Young. This has got to be, what, your 20th time on the show now?
We're closing in on that, I guess.
You have a big night ahead of you tomorrow. I guess today was a big day as well, the weigh-ins here at the Sea Dog in Bangor. Tomorrow night you have a lot of fighters competing at NEF 30. How has this camp been?
Camp's been good. It's been really, really good. You know, it's as far as the training goes, you know, we've had our little ups and downs with the gym and being relocated and all that stuff, which made it interesting, little nomadic training going on, but we got it done.
Now, are you able to talk about the ultimate outcome of where your gym's location is going to be, or is that something that we're still waiting on an announcement?
We're still waiting on that announcement, but I'm going to be excited to come on this show and let the world know. So,
let's talk about the weight cuts here. I think all your fighters underweight.
Everyone made it, yeah.
Perfectly done. So it just means that everyone was committed to losing the weight, and they did so. And even Fred, who had to lose a lot of weight, too, to make down to the cut. So you must be pretty proud of all your fighters.
Absolutely. You know, obviously the eye was on Fred, you know, it being a title fight. And, he, you know, he's got a little history of missing weight from time to time. So that was definitely the fight we were most nervous about. Most of the guys on this card are not ones to miss weight. No, hey, whenever you get all your guys on weight, it's always good.
We've talked about this before and how you said you don't want to have six fights on the card. You want to be able to spread it out a little bit and actually really focus in, but you've got six again this time around.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
That's all crap, isn't it? Whenever I, yeah. Honestly, like, it's just hard. You know, when we got word they were coming to Bangor, we're actually, there was more people that wanted to be on the card, and they just couldn't be squeezed in. So I knew right when I got the word that they're coming back to Bangor, it was going to be a slamming night. So
now your wife Angela, this is going to be her final fight. We just saw that the other day. How does that feel for you? Is it mixed emotions? Are you happy? Are you sad?
I guess for the most part, as long as she continues to train, I guess it would be happy. You know, it's really hard. It's really, really difficult. Given, you know, we have a son and she's a career woman. You know, I'm at the gym all the time. It's just really tricky to get her the training that she needs and that she wants. Like, she's not going to do it unless she can train. Right. So there's a lot of long days, my son hanging out at the gym for long hours, things like that. So to loosen up on the hustle and bustle, it'll be kind of nice.
And she's matching up against the Black Widow, Jessica Borgia. You've seen her multiple times. This is her third trip up to Maine to compete in the NEF. What stylistically do you expect from Borgia? Is there any issues that you think she's going to prevent for Angela tomorrow night?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Borgia has probably the most difficult body type for my wife to deal with, given my wife is shorter stature, you know, shorter limbed. Borgia's the exact opposite, tall, long. And that's, you know, given Angie issues in the past. The good side of that is that we've been preparing for this fight since her very first fight, where she fought Rachel Reinheimer, which is very, very stylistically very similar to Borgia. They have a very similar style. They throw their punches very similar, same combinations, that type of thing. So we pretty much just jumped right back onto a strategy we've been working since her first fight. So it's just going to be a matter of her pulling the trigger. If she pulls the trigger, I think this might be a quick fight.
Tell us a little bit about Roger Ewer, of course, making his debut, but again, relatively unknown probably for the main MMA fan.
And how old is he?
43, 3.
Okay. So you might have another Pat Kelly situation?
That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, he's, you know, Roger came into the gym just to get in shape. You know, obviously his brother, his younger brother CJ, you know, was competitive and fought for us and whatnot. And so he came into the gym, did fitness classes, that kind of thing, started losing weight, and he slowly started kind of working under the mat and asking questions, and he started training, and one thing just led to another. He also is a, you know, wrestling standout like his younger brother, so he had that skill set there. And really, he took to the striking. You know, he's striking isn't too bad either. You know, and he, you know, he's 250, so he
he's
hits
a
like
rugged guy.
Yeah. Oh, he's rugged. Yeah, he's rugged.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be another exciting fight. Obviously, you're talking about his brother. We can skip to the main event. I definitely want to touch upon Ryan and Aaron, but we'll stick with the Ewers for right now. CJ, we haven't seen him in a while since his last time. It's been about a year since he knocked out Ruben Redmond at the NEF here in Bangor. And he's taken on Mike Hansen, who's very well-rounded and has been in this game for a while now. Break down that fight for us. What do you expect to see as a fan?
This is it's going to be a really good fight. You know, we're going to have to bring our A game because, yeah, Mike is extremely experienced. And, you know, CJ is used to being a bigger, stronger guy in his matchups. And this might be one of those matches where he's not going to be the bigger, stronger guy. You know, on top of the fact that Hansen's been fighting freaking heavyweights, you know what I mean? So he's used to pushing around guys that are just massive and hit hard and all that stuff. So I think this is going to be a really exciting fight. I don't think this fight is capable of being boring. You know, it's just one of those fights I just don't see how this is going to be boring.
And
it sounds like
just made weight. Yeah. There's a little bit in doubt earlier, but that's always good because, again, when this is the main event's a title fight, you want to get down to that one. So it's a good thing we're going to have that. And yeah, he seems pretty ecstatic. That's the wonders of live podcasting, I guess.
I turned around and I guess the towel had dropped. I was shocked at what I saw, but we won't go there. Let's talk a little bit about another title fight that we have right here: Fred Lear and Walt Shea. We know Freddie really well. He's a bulldog, and Walt Shea is a guy who's undefeated, who trains at First Class MMA. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again: Young's and First Class, to me, they're the two premier gyms in all of Maine. So I know Walt's been getting better. He's been getting the top training just as Fred has at your gym. So what are we going to expect here in this fight? Do you think Fred's going to try and utilize his wrestling pedigree to really keep Walt on the ground? Or do you think we're going to see a stand-up fight?
Well, I won't tell you too much just because of our game plan and whatnot. But this is another fight where I don't think this can be a boring fight. I just don't see it being boring. You know, if I'm just being straight up honest, I think, you know, Fred carries a lot of experience, not only just from the MMA side of things, he's got a lot more fights than Walt, but he's been wrestling his whole life. So I think Fred comes in with a lot more experience. That being said, you know, you can't count on a guy that fights with his heart, and that's what Walt Shea does. Walt Shea is just one of those will fighters who you drop every bomb you have on him, and when the smoke clears, he's still standing there staring at you. So, and you can't count those guys out. So, you know, we've been training hard for this fight, just like we do every other fight. So, again, I don't see this one being a boring one.
Do you feel like Fred's pretty close to moving up to that pro level? Do you think him and maybe Victor Irwin are your two next ones to go pro?
He's probably going to have one more amateur fight, and then he will be probably going pro. You know, assuming that's what he wants to do, which obviously that's the talk around town. But
all right, let's talk about the pro fighters.
Yeah,
Ryan, I know you want to get to it.
Yeah, let's talk about the alpha dogs in your gym, I guess you could say. Ryan Sanders and Aaron Lacy, we both know them very well, and they got a couple of big fights on their hands. Sanders taking on Jay Ellis, who's a very well-rounded and experienced guy of over 80 fights. And Lacy's taking on Brian Goldsby, who is also a boxer, and he trains at a George Gurgel's gym. So this is another guy who's very experienced. Obviously, Ryan looked great. He was saying how easy the weight cut this time was because he didn't have to get down to 155. What are we gonna see out of the Ryan Sanders tomorrow night?
I think that's gonna a lot depend on Jay. If you want to know the truth, you know, Jay's one of those guys that everyone likes to kind of write off because of his record, right? But from what I've seen, watching the footage of him, you know, he seems like one of those guys that sometimes he shows up to try to win, and other times he shows up just to get his check. So it depends on what Jay Ellis we're gonna get, and we have to be ready because if you know, I've seen him come in to fight. And he's always fighting tough guys. He's, you know, he's not brought in to beat somebody. He's brought in to lose. So, you know, you gotta be on your toes because if he comes in ready to win and fight to win, he's a handful.
Now, we know Ryan would like to fight at 170 or even 165 if that becomes in vogue. Mm-hmm. But where do you think his biggest success or how he can reach the highest levels? Is that 155?
I've been trying to get Ryan to go to 55 for a very long time. Yeah. In fact, when he first started training, he's just not built for 170. He's tall, so everyone's like, oh, he's tall, and he's just not built for it. And if you look at his career fighting at 170, a lot of his losses, a huge contributing factor to those losses is the size. He got laid on, people took him down and just laid on top of him. Now, earlier in his career, he was a little bit more complacent, using some of his jiu-jitsu, and you know, we all know you got to be on top if you want to win a fight. And the size was always a huge factor. So 155 is, if he wants to excel, 155 is where he's going to be.
So Ryan clearly is a very lean guy. There's no fat on him. Yep. So what is it that he needs to do in order to make this cut to 155 easier? Does he just have to change his diet to change
honestly,
his body type
yeah,
a little
honestly,
bit?
Honestly, the weight cut, he's maximized it. You know, it's one of those things that making the cut all the time is just grueling. You know, all his last fights have been at 55, and so he saw this opportunity fighting up here to maybe fight at 70, just so he could take a break from the cut. In fact, Jay Ellis was the same, had the same concept. You know, he fought like three times last month,
right,
or something like that. I mean, the guy's an animal, you know, and he wanted the same thing. He was like, I just don't want to cut to 55 again. Could we just do 170? And Ryan was like, yep. So this is one of those kind of special concessions that, given that they're both actually 155ers, I was okay with the 170. But Ryan has already, he's figured it out. You know, he's got it under wraps. A lot of it comes with maturity, too.
Right.
You know, honestly, like, it's, men just don't mature until they're a little bit older. And, you know, those young kids, keeping them under wraps is a pain in the butt. But, you know, Ryan turned 30 this year, and he's just got life figured out a little bit better now.
I have to agree with that sentiment. I think my father, who's sitting here too, would probably agree.
That you matured?
I don't know about that. I didn't mature until I was a little bit older. I'm still not fully mature, but I'm getting
none of us are. None of us are.
Well, one guy who seems pretty mature is Aaron Lacy. And no disrespect to Brian Goldsby, but is he a step in the right direction, a step up for Aaron in competition?
So, yeah. You know, this is actually, in my opinion, this is one of the tougher fights for my guys on the card. Again, this is just one of those guys that you look at his record and you're like, you know, but the guy has fought all over the country at some of the upper echelons of the sport against some really tough guys. You know, you're going to take some losses. Right. Same thing with Ryan's record. You know, you look at Ryan's record and you're like, but he's fought the toughest of the tough. You know, watching Ryan's skills, this is a tough fight. This is a test that I think we really needed for Aaron, like, to kind of get a gauge at where he's going to, you know, stack up against, you know, the other competition in New England.
Now, Aaron's had a little bit of time outside of the cage, more than he'd like. I know he likes to stay active. What are we going to see from Aaron tomorrow night? Because, you know, he's clearly one of those guys that's very even keel and he can pace himself and everything. But when a fighter who wants this as much as Aaron clearly does takes that much time off, are you worried at all that maybe he's going to come in there and be kind of like a dog that just broke his chain and just wants to come at the guy because it's been that much time outside of the cage? You know, is that something that equates into the,
you know, depending on the individual. You know, with Aaron, no. Aaron's one of my most disciplined fighters, almost to a fault sometimes, and he'll tell you. I mean, the kid's OCD to a fault. He worries about everything, every little tiny detail. I have to tell him to calm down most of the time just because he's so worried about every intricate little thing. So my big thing with Aaron is I just want to, you know, Aaron has been a pure Young's MMA product. I've talked about this before. You know, he's had no training outside of Young's. So, you know, I put a lot of time into Aaron, and he's in the gym all the time. My big thing with Aaron is I just want to show progression with him. Every fight, I want to see him. So you watch him, you're like, he's different than the first time you saw him. You know, he's always improving. And Aaron is one of those guys that puts in that work, so you will see. So this next fight coming up, I think you're going to see some distinct differences in what Aaron brings to the table.
Realistically, if he comes out on top, not to look past Goldsby, where do you see him getting his big break, so to speak, to the next level? Do you think it's in two more fights, three more fights? Is it further down the line? Where would you want it to be to?
So the way I kind of run it, and we've talked about this on the show a few times, like I use this kind of ladder formula that I have where it's just a, you know, when you first turn pro, you get a couple fights that, you know, we win 9 times out of 10. You know, it's a lot of people complain about you're taking easy fights, but you got to test the waters. You know, this is your permanent record. And a lot of these guys, this is their career. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. They're just looking at it from an entertainment standpoint. They're like, we just want to be entertained. We want to see good guys fight.
Right.
But these guys are doing it to make their paycheck. you know, Aaron doesn't work. This is his job. This is how he pays his bills. So you have to progress carefully, you know. So if he, you know, beats Brian, especially if he does it convincingly and whatnot, then we look for the next tier up. You know, maybe somebody that, you know, odds are maybe we don't beat. You know, maybe if you look at the stats, you're going to give Aaron maybe, you know, a 40% chance of winning this fight. Really test him out. Really give him a test. So for me, I'm looking at 8-9-1, 8-0,
okay,
something in that before. I mean, if Dana White called tomorrow and was like, I want Aaron to fight, personally, I'd probably want him to turn it down.
Right.
Because what is the point of going into the UFC, getting smoked, and then getting booted from the UFC,
right,
and then having to fight your way back into the UFC?
So Aaron's still a young guy. He's not even entered really his prime yet. So having said that, how much better do you expect him to be 2 years from now? Is Aaron just going to absolutely annihilate the Aaron of today?
Yes. And if your coaching is worth a damn, then that's how it should be. You know, in fact, it should be almost a yearly thing. Like the Aaron this year should be able to kick the Aaron's ass last year, and so on and so forth. And just continues because he should always be improving. MMA is it's not a single discipline sport. You know, it's not like boxing where you get certain combinations and footwork, and then it's just boom, you top out. It's MMA. I mean, there's so many facets to it that you can never say that you're a master of it. You know, there's always something to learn and improve on. So that's just really my goal as a coach, is just make sure that my guys are always improving.
Did you have another question here, Brian? I was just going to ask him about Bruce's fight here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, go for
too,
it.
Because
yeah,
you're a very busy man. Obviously, you got this NEF 30 card here tomorrow in Bangor. And then Bruce is fighting Nate Andrews at the CES yeah, card. I believe it's August 11th.
Yeah.
So Andrews, well, undefeated. Most of his wins are first-round finishes. What kind of stylistic fight are we going to see there? Is Andrews just going to try and out-muscle him and get him to the ground? Or will Bruce be able to keep this on the feet?
You know, I think ultimately what always happens if you watch Bruce's fights, people can think they're going to stand with him. You know what I mean? They're like, I'm going to go out there, and then they ultimately always try to take him down. I mean, even the guys in the gym that train with him every day, he's a very tricky guy to figure out because his striking is so unorthodox, and, you know, with his Taekwondo background, you never know where the kicks are going to come from. So ultimately, I think just like most fights, I think this is going to be a fight where Nate's going to be trying to put him on the cage, try to drag him to the ground and get his back and get the choke. But you know, Bruce is improving as well. You know, he's you know, always adding little tricks to his game, little pieces to the puzzle. So it's going to be an interesting fight. And it's on my birthday.
So. Oh wow! So yeah, he's got to get you a birthday present.
Yeah.
So a win
yeah,
would be pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
How does this crowd here today compare to some of the other weigh-ins? In your opinion, was this this seemed to be the most populated one I've been to?
Yeah, I mean, this was a pretty good one. You know, yeah, but I think it's just, you know, the fans, you know, being right here locally, and we don't get this very often. So this is a chance for all the people that don't get to travel all the way down to Lewiston to see the weigh-ins to kind of get an eyeball of it.
For that reasoning alone, is this almost a bigger card for the fighters who are on this, the six ones that you're going to be cornering?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of these guys. You know, the amateurs, you make money off the commission sales your tickets, right? And if your fans have to drive 2 hours to get to the venue, you're not going to sell as many tickets if it was just in your backyard, right? So and then just the having that home crowd, you know, it's just, you can't put a price tag on that. It's awesome. You know,
now we've also been seeing some people like Uriah Faber saying that they wouldn't mind getting back into the octagon again anytime we see Chris Young back in the cage again, or is that already, that ship sailed long ago?
I think that ship sailed a long time ago.
All right. Yeah. I just always have to ask. You never know.
Yeah.
Big money fight.
Well, you know, you have a good thing going with your gym, and obviously you've come a long ways from the old basement days to now where you're at, and I think just the ceiling is through the roof, like Michael Jordan said there in North
Carolina. The ceiling is the roof.
That's right. Yeah. The ceiling is the roof, you know. So you have a bright future, and it's always a pleasure to have you here on the show. We look forward to tomorrow night.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
We are back at the weigh-ins, NEF 30 Rumble in Bangor here at the Sea Dog Brewing Company. Right now we're joined by a couple of first-class MMA competitors. We got Walt Shea here with us, who is going to be taking on Fred Lear for the amateur 135-pound strap here tomorrow night at the Cross Insurance Center. And we also have Mr. Josh Jones. Jeez.
Well, I think you were just waiting for a nickname. Josh, do you have a nickname yet? Like the 4-second KO King or something like that?
They call me the King. A lot of people call me TNT. Dynamite.
Okay.
So, Dynamite.
Like JJ like Dynamite as well.
So you've got like 18 nicknames right now. That's pretty good.
It's all around. Okay. So it's all good. It's all good.
And Josh is extremely made national news for his 4-second knockout. Yes. And again, yeah, definitely a really good moniker, a nickname to kind of like separate you. You also were talking about you were talking about getting a song for your entrance music. Did you ever figure that out?
Oh, we did. And it's going to be, I think this is going to be a very good one for this to be my third fight. And right now I'm at 24 seconds, but hopefully this one goes a lot longer. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, as Ryan alluded to, talk about the national presence and what went on there with your knockout, basically going through flowcombat.com. It was named one of the best knockouts of the month of, I think it was June at the time. Yeah. So just how has that been dealing with that just two fights into your career?
It's an honor. It shows what first class is actually about, who I train against. You know, I don't really take much of the appraisal for it. It's not, you know, it's the practice first, and then I get to go out and use the tools that they sharpen for me. So obviously that goes up to everyone that's in first class that helps me get where I need to be.
And obviously as a bigger guy like you obviously are, you got guys like Nick Gulliver and Roz Hilton that are pushing you on a daily basis there. What has that been like to actually have some legitimate guys that have made noise in the NEF and are looking to make careers in the sport of mixed martial arts? What has it been like to have guys that have that size to really push you and get you to where you're at right now?
Oh, it's an honor, and it's such a humbling experience. You know, you go into this cage, you got to understand that there's always someone bigger and better than you. So I get that every day in practice. And even the smaller guys like Walt Shea, Dom Jones, and all them, when we're on the ground grappling, just everyone just all around. It's just it's a learning experience.
Well, you have to also give a lot of credit to the man to your left in Walt, because he got you into this sport, correct?
That is right.
Well, go through that conversation and how he convinced you to start plying your trade inside a cage.
We ended up catching up, and then I hit him up and I was asking him, you know, I was interested for the first class, and he's like, hey guy, you should come down and try it out. And then I was like, I don't know. He goes, go ahead, come on down. He goes, I'll help you through with your nutrition and everything. I go, all right. So I came down, and then boom, it exploded. So.
And Walt, you're a guy that's been doing this for a little while now, and it's an incredible story that you've lost over 100 pounds to get to where you're at right now. And a lot of hard work, and you look great here today at the weigh-in. So tell us a little bit about your journey and what's got you to the point you're at right now. And again, what are your goals here? What are we going to see from Walt Shea in the future?
Well, I mean, I started off watching my cousin Nick Shea. He got in first before me, and I was watching him from the side, and honestly, I was a little jealous of him being in there, watching him do something I wouldn't mind doing myself. I was a little overweight at the time, so I decided to get down to it. Started putting in the work on my own on the side. Finally, I got to a point where I could go in there, get some training in, and just kept at it. Kept working hard, lost the weight, and then I thought Josh Jones here, one of the most athletic dudes I grew up with. I was like, dude, if you're not doing anything, come down, try it out. So, by now I'm just eye on the prize. I don't know, this title, this fight with Fred, just so I get it.
How difficult was it when you hit some of those roadblocks in that weight loss process? I'm just thinking mentally, I myself have lost weight and gained weight throughout my life. How hard was it to stay focused, to get down to the point where you're at right now and just push through those hard times?
It was difficult. It was like every 10, 20 pounds, you know, you hit a roadblock, but training in MMA, you're not just killing yourself in a gym on a treadmill every day. You're in there having fun with your buddies, rolling, grappling, hitting each other in the face. Just, it's different, you know? I'm not as bored as being in a gym lifting weights up and putting them down, you know?
Do you feel like the weight loss, too, helps you in preparation?
Oh, yeah. I was able to kind of modify what I was doing on the way down for my weight cut schedule now.
Very nice. Now, let's talk about Fred Lear. He's a very difficult opponent. He's got on a two-fight win streak since taking a little time off. You're also undefeated.
Yep.
What does he bring to the table that you're going to try to come out on top and take that that title belt back to first class?
You know, Fred brings a lot of pressure. He's a grindy wrestler. He never gets out of your face. So I just got to prepare to either keep him at bay or embrace it and just give it right back to him in his face.
Now, you got another guy at first class in Rafael Velado, who's an expert on the ground. His jiu-jitsu is top-notch. Have you guys really worked on maybe working off your back as Fred is a wrestler himself? If, hypothetically speaking, he were to get you on your back, have you guys worked on some of that to get up off your back?
And definitely. Yep. Since I've been at first class, Rafael has been one of my main mentors in jiu-jitsu. He's been, a lot of my game is developed around stuff he's shown me, stuff that he does himself.
Yeah, first class. There was a John Rayo the other day, and it's just a gym that is on the absolute rise. I mean, as far as my money goes, first class in Young's is 1A and B, however you want to say it, in all of Maine, and there's a lot of great things to come. I got to ask you, Josh, as a guy who, basketball, superstar, you've really made it to the highest levels. I was stuttering earlier because I was going to call you Josh Jackson because I'm just thinking of the draft and everything. I'm like, no, wait a second, that's not it. It's Josh Jones.
I'm sure you'd like that kind of money, though.
Right? I can't argue with that.
But I wanted to ask you, do you ever think back, like, geez, I really miss basketball. I want to try it again. Or has MMA kind of really taken the reins for your passion and your love, and this is where you really want to make your stamp in your athletic career?
I love MMA right now. To be honest, it's so fundamental. There's so much to learn. And, I have so much to learn in this sport that, that's not just on the mat. It's also a lifestyle-changing event. Basketball, yes, it's good. But I'm also getting up there in age as well.
What,
I'm still
like
young. I just turned 30. Yeah, okay. I'm still young. I can still dunk. I can still go between the legs and stuff. But right now, my mindset's on foundation and ground, and that's why I love working on my wooden gully. So that's I like MMA, and I'm going to see how I can ride this too. So
is there any UFC fighters you watch that you try to model your style thing?
Oh, jeez. John Jones. And
I
then
figured. The name too. It's pretty close, and he's sort of built the same way.
Yeah.
You are.
Oh yeah, 6'4", and then we got 3 inches. He's got 3 inches on me on arm span, so I'd have to make that up if we ever went at it.
So you got like an 81.5-inch reach?
Me, I'm at about 80 right now. Yeah.
Wow. That is a monster reach, especially for the middleweight division. And again, you're 2-0 now, and you've made some serious noise. Your opponent that you're facing, Carlton Charles, this is his debut fight, and you're trying to prepare for a guy that you have no tape to watch on.
He just fought in a boxing match, which I had a couple friends at, I guess he did well in it. But it's like any fight, if you don't have any film, you got to take it as a man versus a man once you step in that cage, because you don't know how he's going to be with the audience. You don't know if he gets one of those people that was really nervous before a fight and he starts throwing up. You just don't know. Anything can happen. Look at my last fight. It took one punch. That's all it was. So
do you ever regret the little show of respect early, so it could have been like a 3-second knockout?
Oh, never 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 never. No, I'm all set with that. Always respect in this game.
Now, I know some fighters don't like to give predictions, but I have to ask anyways. Josh, first, do you have a prediction on how things are going to go on Saturday night?
I can predict it's going to be a good one to watch.
How about you, Walt?
Same. It's probably going to be excitement, us going back and forth in each other's faces, just grinding on each other.
Will this be a first-class night?
Hopefully.
I already know.
I know a lot of people are saying that you and Fred might be the fight of the night.
Yeah,
so
I saw that.
That is something that you really got to keep an eye on, because both of you guys are very, very active and both great guys from everything you can tell as well. So this is going to be an exciting night here in Bangor at the Cross Insurance Center.
Yeah, thanks for the time, and we wish you both luck. Can't wait for it.
Guys.
Thank you.
We are back now with the Black Widow, Jessica Borga, who has made the trek up from Florida, and she's going to be taking on Angela Young in a 135-pound bout at NAF 30 tomorrow night.
Well, a little bit different.
Rumble in Bangor.
40. It's 140, right?
140.
140 catch weight.
Oh, okay. So did that change today?
Yeah, it changed before
it did.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was my fault. I don't know what happened. It just wasn't as easy as it was in the past. I don't know. It was my first time, so...
Well, you've been fighting nonstop for a while now. You've been fighting.
I think it kind of caught up with me a little bit. It gets harder and harder each time, especially when you're going. So, happens.
And we've had you on the show a few times now. The last couple of times you fought, it's been back-to-back-to-back, right, in the last 2 months. So tell us a little bit about how life has been for you over the last couple months.
It's awesome. I mean, I would fight every weekend if it wasn't for weight cutting. I really would. I fought 125 to 145. I've fought every single different weight class there is. I had a match because we can't find fights as often in Florida, obviously. That's why I'm traveling so much. Traveling is a whole different ball game. If no one has traveled, especially an amateur, it is way different. It's way different. You have to add that in with the weight cutting and everything. So I love it, though. I wouldn't change it for the world. I would fight every weekend if I could, but I'm doing it every month instead. So eventually it catches up sometimes. I hate not making weight, but, she was agreeable to the weight, so is on.
How was this trip comparable to some of the other ones? I know it's a little further north, but was it a little easier this time, maybe?
No, it was a little bit different this time because Lewiston, the flight was right to the town, and we kind of stayed in Boston last night and then drove from Boston to
here. So you got
today.
To really enjoy the trees then?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got more travel on this one, car travel, and while cutting weight.
How do you enjoy our fair city here of Bangor?
I absolutely love Maine. Bangor. I said it right.
You did.
I'm going to mark that in the calendar that I said that right because I have been frowned upon because I said banger before. Sorry.
A lot of people do. Yeah,
of course. It was the old, I'm trying to think of who the singer was. Roger Miller had a song and he said banger. And ever since then, this has been the name of the city outside of the locals. So you were not the first, nor will you be the last.
It's beautiful here, though. It really is.
Any chance you might relocate here ever at some point?
Possibly. Possibly.
She hasn't spent the winters here yet.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the only thing that would stop me would be the winters.
Yeah.
I've lived in Wisconsin. So my dad's family was from Wisconsin. The winters, whoo, getting snowed in and stuff like that. And when you do this kind of sport, your body hurts more in the wintertime. So I'm good.
You're better
good
off down
Floridian.
In Florida, Jessica.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest with
good
you.
Good old Florida girl. I'm just going to stay there. I just come up here for visits.
Now, this will be your ninth fight as an amateur. When do you feel like you might make that jump to the pro ranks?
Hopefully, after this fight or the next fight. Yeah, a couple more. Maybe after this one. We'll see how it goes.
You look like you have some, maybe
I
some
I don't know if I was supposed
stuff
to say that.
Okay, it's fine.
She looked over at her coach, Ross Colin.
I'm like, soon. I want to, as soon as he says I'm ready.
So. Were you a little disappointed, too? You were supposed to fight Kerry Kennison on an NEF card here recently, too, and you suffered an injury. But disappointed that you had a chance for another title there.
I wanted to fight her so bad, and which I still will get a chance in pro, I'm sure. Definitely. I was disappointed to pull out of a fight. It takes a lot for me to pull out of a fight. But I wanted her actually more than the one in Montana, to be honest. So I should have kind of pulled out of the other one if that was the one I was going to pull out. But, you know, stuff happens. Like you said, I was fighting every single month, and stuff happens where you got to pull out when you got to pull out.
And so what exactly happened in that fight in Montana that forced you to pull out?
It wasn't that actually forced me to pull out. I actually found out that I had something to be dealt with physically, medically. It had nothing to do with fighting, honestly, but it affected my fighting. So
gotcha.
I had to take off a couple weeks for a procedure to be done. So.
How difficult is that when you want to stay in camp and you want to stay training, when you have to take a couple of weeks off? How does that affect you when you come back into the gym? Do you feel like you've lost some time and you need to really put in that work to get back to that level where you were at before you had to take the time off?
No, actually, because even if I'm told I'm not allowed to do stuff, I still do it. I work something. Like when I broke my hand 2 years ago or a year ago, whenever it was, I practice my kicks. I mean, there's always something that you can do to make something better. So you still got, you got four limbs, you know, there's other ways that you can work around it, but that one was more of a mental battle. The thing that I just went through. So, but it's done. It's on.
You feeling 100% now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just had a match. Like we were trying to say that we were trying to find an opponent, last month. I want to say it was July. I think it was, don't remember the date, but we found a jiu-jitsu match. And I haven't got to show my jiu-jitsu skills because I like to stand up and bang. So it was nice to actually take on someone who specializes in jiu-jitsu so I can show that we come from a jiu-jitsu school as well. So, and finish the round pretty quick.
Now, you said it's hard to find opponents in the amateur ranks. Is it a little easier maybe in the women's ranks to find a pro fight, or is it still just as difficult?
I don't know, honestly. Yeah. I would hope that it would be easier. I mean, they're getting paid to do it, but it's still far and few between that are active, I would think. In Florida, anyway. I don't know about other states. I'm sure there's more that are willing to get paid for fighting. That's for sure. But I love it. I love doing it just for the experience. So that's why I've gone a little bit more than I needed to, you know, amateur-wise.
Well, let's talk about your opponent here, Angela Young. And this is going to be her last fight, her fifth and final fight. Does that make you a little worried that she has nothing else to fight for beyond this one? She's going to try to leave it all out in the cage?
No. I mean, that actually makes me more excited. I hope she does. I mean, an exciting match like that, someone that doesn't have anything left to lose, wants to leave with a bang, that just makes me more pumped up. It gives me goosebumps.
Now, have you watched tape on Angela? How would you assess her game?
Oh, we're definitely both stand-up bang fighters. I mean, we like to stand up and throw them. So I really like that. I like her activity in the cage. I really do. She's a tough chick. I like it. Now, I only want tough chicks, so she's on there.
Now, every one of her four fights has gone the distance. Do you feel like it's going to be another three-round classic, or do you feel like if it's over early, it's going to be in your benefit?
I'm planning for it to be over in my benefit pretty early. I need to finish for Neff, so.
I like it. I like the confidence, too.
And I know she also fights good opponents, so yeah. She's always fought people that were pretty decent, so I like that about her.
Now, it's not going to be unusual because you fought in Lewiston twice, but one was against Rachel Joyce, who fought out of Bangor then at that time, so a two-hour drive there. But how does it feel to be the villain entering in there where there's going to be a whole bunch of support for Angela?
I actually love being the underdog, the villain, the one coming in. I don't know why that fuels me. I love being the underdog. I don't know. It fuels my fire. I love it.
You actually just stole the words right out of my mouth. I was going to ask that question because, you were down in Lewiston and you fought a couple of times and you actually had quite a bit of crowd support. But up here it might be a little bit different because Angela is from this area. Yep. We're 2 hours north of Lewiston.
She may have treated some people as a registered nurse.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
that's right.
Well, she's loved. She's a nice person. I mean, I met her. She's a real nice person. Unfortunately, it's all different when we step in the cage. But, I mean, I'm expecting her to, you know, I'm expecting to get booed probably when I go, I'm the one that, you know, they don't want me to beat her. Not on her last fight in her hometown. No, it's expected, though. Yep. Same thing when I fight in my hometown.
When does that switch change for you? You know, before you step into the cage and you get ready to throw down, how long or before that do you get to that point where you kind of get into your head mentally that you're getting ready to go in and just, you know, actually fight? You know what I mean? A lot of people, like we have a couple of guys that are from Young's MMA, one guy in particular, Fred Lear, was like the nicest guy ever. Mm-hmm. And then he's like a bulldog when he gets in the cage.
Werewolf.
A werewolf, that's true.
That's what everyone asked me. You're so nice in person. I was like, I am. I'm not an indecent person. I don't think of myself as an indecent person. But I try to be nice. I love laughing, having a good time. But it changes when we get in there because, I don't know, it changes that morning for me. I start thinking in my mind, it's do or die. It's stalk them, get them, get it over with. I don't know. It's something. It's a switch that goes off on its own. I don't know. It's just been there since I was a kid, honestly. It's been a problem.
Did you used to get in fights a lot as a kid?
It was so bad. So I got kicked out of every school I ever went to. Aww. My mom and dad should have put me in this a long time ago.
Now, were you the one that started the fights, or would you just finish them when someone started them with you?
I usually finished them. Okay. I was a bully to the bullies.
That's very cool.
I didn't like people that was picking on the kids that couldn't stand up for themselves. And my dad always would ask me, because, you know, he'd see marks or something, or my hands skidded up from, you know, punching people. and he would ask me, well, did you win? Because my dad was a tough guy. And I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, good, because if you didn't, I was going to beat your ass.
That one's acceptable. We'll allow that one. Well, you've already made a bold proclamation, but let's talk about the finish. What do you predict in your crystal ball for a Saturday night to start off the show?
I know we're going to come out swinging, so I predict that, but I'm not going to give out my secrets.
Oh, I like that.
Not yet.
An air of mystery.
We've been working on a lot. I like to be well-rounded. I want to be ready for anything, and I feel like the more experience I've gotten, especially in the last year and everything, I've grown a lot, and I want to show that. I want to show it.
It's always nice to see you up here in Maine, and this time in Bangor. It's been in Lewiston before. Hopefully we'll see you again in the NEF cages in the near future. Jessica Borga.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, we're continuing our weigh-in show, a special event here from the Sea Dog Restaurant on Front Street in Bangor. And again, this is also going to be your home for the after-party headquarters of the event, too. So go check that out. So after you have your rumble in the Bangor for NEF 30, come down to the Sea Dog and enjoy that one. And someone who will be here, too, likely, Pete Zimbor, as long as he doesn't get beat up in the cage after making his announcements. And one of our broadcast partners as well in some prior additions to NEF for the boxing events is joining us here now. Pete, thanks for joining us here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Great to be here in Bangor, Maine for the second year in a row with New England Fights.
Yeah, so last year was the Dana White looking for a fight card. I know you got to meet Dana as well. Just go through that experience once again and just relive that moment, which is going to happen a year ago to the date of this card coming up on Saturday.
Well, I had met Dana a few times before, and he actually did some radio shows with me a few times before as well, so I wasn't so much starstruck with him being there, but I thought it was such a great opportunity for a lot of NEF fighters to fight in front of him and have the entire experiments documented for his reality show. I'm not the biggest fan of his reality show, to tell you the truth. I don't think I've ever gotten through a complete episode outside of the one they shot here in Maine, but I thought that Dana White's involvement certainly brought additional attention to the show to the locals, and I think it brought a lot of local fighters national and worldwide attention from MMA purists and hardcores. I'll give you a story about Dana White from maybe 4 or 5 years ago, probably even beyond that. This was a show in Wilmington, Massachusetts, and this is before commissions even sanctioned mixed martial arts, and Dana White, back in the day, used to try to hit up a show every week and scout talent from all around the country. A lot of people don't know that, but take a guy like Kenny Florian, for example. Dana White saw him fight on an underground show in Massachusetts, a fight in which he lost, but was so entertaining in doing so, said, I got to have this guy on season one of The Ultimate Fighter. Huh. Just a short story. But we'll go back to that show in Wilmington, Massachusetts that Dana White was at, and the promoter put together a card of just regional club fighters and then put on the poster Dana White would be there with his permission. Hmm. And this was right when UFC was starting to get really popular on Spike TV and The Ultimate Fighter. And just the involvement of Dana White being on the poster and being there helped the promoter sell tickets and get people there. And I think last year here in Maine, even though Dana White does have some roots here, doesn't quite frequent it publicly, I think that his involvement just brought a lot more eyeball to the event and a lot more opportunity for the fighters. And we saw a guy like Devin Powell, who's now fought twice in the UFC since then as a result of that show directly.
Now, Pete, you're a pretty big deal, but was it cool seeing yourself on that YouTube show?
Well, if you...
Because I remember I did see you. I heard
a
little bit of
it. You see me for like one frame, and I don't think you hear my voice at all. So, yeah, I guess it was cool, but it could have been much cooler. I'll tell you right now, the picture of me and Dana that was taken that night is made for a cooler Instagram photo than anything else. So, how's that?
Now, this is going to be a weird question, but you've seen John Jones in the early parts of his career, right? Did you call one of his early fights?
I was the play-by-play announcer for John Jones' pro debut. He fought a guy from New Hampshire who I'd never seen before, and I don't think I've seen since. I think his name was Brad Bernard. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. That's right when UFC was just starting to cross over into mainstream popularity. And I had done commentary for football, basketball, and boxing. That was my first time ever calling mixed martial arts. So I go back and I cringe at some things I say because I was just getting acclimated to the sport. But leaving that night, the one fighter that I would have told you would be in UFC was John Jones. He was so impressive.
So you knew it right away.
You knew right away that John Jones was something special. And then what people also forget, and you can look this up on Sherdog or wherever else you look up guys' records, John Jones, all of his early fights happened in New England, mostly in Massachusetts, because mixed martial arts was not only not sanctioned in his home state of New York, but outright outlawed. Huh. So he fought like every week in Massachusetts at the beginning of his career and was just knocking guys dead, and you knew that he was going to be something special. I don't think he went the distance with anyone until he hit the UFC, and then once he picked up at the pace of UFC, in my opinion, he's the best mixed martial artist of all time still.
Well, it's kind of funny, actually, because I was watching that. I think Flow Combat had posted it or something, and I was like, that sounds like Pete's voice. I had to ask you that question.
Flow Combat posted that video?
They posted the video of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Flow Combat, you owe me some cash, homie. No.
Well, let's talk about another pretty prolific fight coming up here, too. The Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight, before we talk about this Rumble and Bangor card, who do you think wins this one? Is it, again, the boxer dominating his sport, or do you think Conor has a chance?
So let's go back to 2010, if we can.
Sure.
UFC 118 in Boston, which is, what, 4 hours south of where we are here in Bangor?
Yep.
James Toney, professional boxing, former middleweight, super middleweight, and cruiserweight champion, fights Randy Couture in a mixed martial arts fight, and Randy Couture submitted him inside one round. After the fight, they asked Dana White for his analysis of what had just occurred, and he said, James Toney picked a fight, and he got one. So let's reverse this right now. Conor McGregor has picked this fight. He'll get one. He'll have to live with the result. I want to make this clear. If this was a mixed martial arts fight, Conor McGregor would kick, tackle, and choke Floyd within a minute and a half and it would be over.
Right.
But it's not. It's happening in the confines of a boxing ring. To think that Conor McGregor, without a professional boxing match or an amateur boxing match for that matter, can simply jump into boxing and fight the best boxer of the past 15 years, To think he can defeat him, let alone be competitive with him, I'm sorry, is just delusional. It's going to make a boatload of money, but Floyd Mayweather is going to pick him apart, and people say Floyd's not a big puncher. Well, against boxers like Manny Pacquiao and Miguel Cotto, maybe he's not, but I don't think Conor McGregor is going to be able to see the punches coming that Floyd throws. When you're training for mixed martial arts, as we've got some mixed martial artists around me, you're training stand-up, you're training wrestling, you're training jiu-jitsu. Floyd Mayweather has done nothing but train his hands for his entire life. He turned pro in 1996, and he's never really taken more than a year or two layoff. Floyd Mayweather is going to pick him apart. Floyd Mayweather is going to stop him whenever he feels like it. If Floyd Mayweather wants to pour it on in one round, he can. If Floyd Mayweather wants to drop his hands and throw a jab and smile and laugh, he can do that. And like I said, if this was an MMA cage, completely different situation. I'll give you a theory that I have and have had for a number of years, and I told Dana White this theory myself, and there's audio documentation of it on YouTube if you want to look it up. At the world-class level, we're not talking about club fights here, we're talking about the world-class level, which Conor McGregor is a world-class mixed martial artist, Floyd Mayweather, a world-class boxer. At the world-class level, a MMA fighter transitioning to boxing will lose 10 out of 10 times they fight. A boxer transitioning to MMA at the world-class level will lose 9 out of 10 times. And here's my theory. The boxer can always clip an MMA fighter in a cage fight. Ray Mercer did it with Tim Sylvia. Of course, most often, it would be the complete other way around. It'd be just like when Randy Couture beat James Toney. But there's just no way that a guy who doesn't dedicate all of his time in his entire life to training stand-up boxing could go and compete with Floyd Mayweather. I have not heard a valid argument for Conor McGregor winning yet. I've heard sales pitches. Mm-hmm. I've not heard valid arguments. Floyd Mayweather wins that fight all day. Bet the house on it.
So with that being said, are you going to drop the $99.99 to watch it in HD?
I am going to be at the Plain Ridge Park Casino that night, where there is a few promoters in New England doing this. CES is doing this, and Murphy's Boxing is doing this, where they're having a live fight card that night that I will be working.
Right.
And then after the live fight card is over, they will show the big fight on TV. So thankfully, I will spare myself the $100. Would I spend the $100?
Right, if you had to.
I like a good freak show like anyone else. Of course I would. But I'll tell you right now, if you think this is going to be a world-class fight, you're just wrong. It's going to be one man who's a master at his game kicking the ass of another man who's the master at his game, but not this particular game. I think that people are going to be disappointed by the main event that night. I'm telling you right now, pay attention to the undercard. The best thing to happen out of this fight is that some world-class boxers who are not household names will get a lot of exposure on the undercard.
And I'm really curious about that. I think you echoed my sentiments exactly. I don't think Conor has a real shot in this one, but we shall see. But I'm just curious to see who they put in the undercard. They still haven't announced that one, and we're getting very close.
I heard that Gervonta Davis, who's a very good bantamweight, featherweight level fighter, will be on the show. I'm hearing Badu Jack, a former super middleweight champion, who's going to make his debut at light heavyweight. So there's some guys, like I said, accomplished, good boxers, not household names. They're going to get a lot of eyeballs on them that night. And the prelims are going to be on Fox television.
Oh, perfect.
So if you're in a four-rounder on that show, you're going to be on national television. That's great news for a lot of guys.
And I'm looking forward to that because I think boxing is really essential to MMA and helping that sport grow, because they can both help each other out if boxing is better again, or at least more mainstream in the United States, because it's still huge all over the world. Just the United States, it seems to have dipped down a little
bit. Yeah, I think that obviously the 90s boxing was much bigger than MMA because MMA was very underground.
Right.
You get to about the mid-2000s, MMA, the early days of Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture and Matt Hughes, those fights were big. Tito Ortiz. I thought MMA began to eclipse boxing in popularity. In recent years, I've seen a trend the other way. I think that from a business perspective, that MMA got so popular in the mid-2000s by pitting the best against the best and doing it consistently.
Yeah.
If you remember, there was a long period of time where every UFC card was just awesome. Now, I think that MMA fighters in the UFC, I think they're picking their spots here and there more, whereas I think boxing in response to what works so well for UFC, you're seeing the best fight the best more often. I'll say this. One thing that's disappointing about the Mayweather-McGregor fight is it's taken a lot of attention away from, say, a fight like last week between Dan Cormier and Jon Jones that I think a lot of MMA fans know is two of the best in the world going at it. Same thing with in September. Canelo and Triple G are going to fight.
I was just
going to
bring that one up,
And I don't think anyone's really talking about that when that's legitimately two of the best fighters in the world against each other as opposed to this.
So hopefully the discerning combat fan can watch all that and enjoy it and then also enjoy the sideshow that is going to be late August between the boxer and the mixed martial artist.
I'll tell you right now, one thing that I'd be fearful of if I was Dana White is Conor McGregor.
Never fighting again, right?
Never fighting again.
Because he won't need to. He'll have so much money.
He's going to make so much money. He's going to get his ass kicked more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
And then never fighting again. Then you're going to have to rely on guys like Jon Jones and hopefully pulling back a Brock Lesnar to be the draw. There's not a lot of stars on the rise in UFC right now. There's a lot of good fighters, but not a lot of stars like the early days. And they have to find ways to make new stars. That's what both sports are based on.
Well, let's talk about this card, too, that you're going to be doing the announcing for. What are some of the fights you're really looking forward to? It's going to be 10 fights, 3 pro, and then you're going to have the 7 Emmys, and then also 2 title fights. But what really stands out to you, Pete?
I'm very excited to see Aaron Lacy back in the cage for the first time in, I believe, exactly a year. He's going to be fighting Brian Goldsby. This fight interests me for a few different reasons. Lacy's undefeated at 4-0, but he's taking a massive step up in the level of opposition against a guy like Brian Goldsby. So I'm interested to see how Lacy reacts to that.
And Brian looked good in the boxing ring last time.
And here's the other thing for Brian Goldsby. Brian Goldsby's a Bellator veteran in mixed martial arts, but in about 2015, he put on boxing gloves and tried boxing. Went 4-4 in 8 fights, and now he's back in the cage. Has he lost a step? It's just kind of a crossroads fight. Has Goldsby lost a step? And is Lacy on the rise that he can compete against a guy who's been at the level Goldsby's been at? He was in the lightweight tournament in Bellator, 3 years ago, and that was all over Spike TV at one point. So he's been to the big stage. Aaron Lacy, if he wants to continue this trajectory that I think his team thinks he's on, he has to beat a guy who's been at this level.
What about the main event? It's going to be the professional title fight at 185. Both Mike Hansen and CJ Uhr got to the limit that they needed to do. They got the weight cut down. What are your thoughts on that one, too, between the mustache and CJ?
I think it's a toss-up. First off, I like how you call Mike Hansen the mustache. I'm the one who gave him that nickname.
Nicely done.
Mike Hansen is one of my favorite fighters to watch in NEF, and the reason is not that he was just standing around here, which I think he's left the room.
Yeah, he's not looming over your shoulder anymore.
The reason is the kid has balls.
We saw them earlier today, too.
I didn't look. I know. I guess he did have to get undressed for the scale, but I did not look.
Well, no, I think he paraded around here after he made the
Wouldn't surprise me knowing his personality. But he's a guy that fights at middleweight, light heavyweight, up to heavyweight. He's fighting guys at heavyweight that have to cut to heavyweight and just doesn't care. Has 4-ounce gloves, will travel, will fight anyone. That's the kind of guy that I think you want on your show. I'll tell you right now, my favorite fighter of all time is a professional boxer named Emmanuel Augustus. Mm-hmm. Google him when you get a chance. He finished his career with a record of, I'm going to say, 37 wins, 20 losses. It's something like that. He won some, he lost some. He was in a fight of the year against Mickey Ward in the late 90s, and he gave Floyd Mayweather the toughest fight of his career. Probably to this day, Floyd always says that. Yeah. He won a lot. He lost a lot, but at the end of the day, he was always entertaining, and I didn't care if it was a Thursday night on ESPN. If I knew Emmanuel Augustus was flying out as well with me.
Yeah, I've always been entertained, and I'm going to, I'm sure, be entertained coming up here on Saturday night as well. Pete will be the voice you hear making the announcements on the winners, the losers, and also introducing everyone. Before I let you go, Pete, the last main event we had... We had Matt Peterson on, and Ryan asked who he was going to match me up with for any F31, and he brought your name up. Just your thoughts on competing against me in either an MMA or a boxing match.
What favors you, MMA or boxing?
I will do either one. I will do either one if you need to. If you prefer boxing, you probably would be a little bit... would you be better at boxing, do you think?
I don't know. I have no idea.
See, I don't know how good I would be in either of those two, so I think it would be a pretty even
matchup. How about we set up a table inside the confines of a ring or a cage, and we have a very hardcore extreme game of tic-tac-toe, and we'll call it at that.
What about arm wrestling? We could have caged arm wrestling.
We could have caged arm wrestling. We could do a lot of silly things. Scrabble, Monopoly,
Just don't do tic-tac-toe. That's my game. I will destroy you
in
tic-tac-toe.
All right, well, 16 Dead End Drive. Wasn't that a board game at one point? Anything like that. Let's go for it.
Pete, it's been an honor to talk with you. We look forward to seeing you again tomorrow night. And thanks again for expounding upon some of your MMA and boxing knowledge again.
Thanks for having me on the Main Event podcast. It's been too long. Everyone else has been on the show but me.
We'll have to do it again here
soon.
We'll
have to do it again.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
The heat is on, the summer is here, and there are so much fun things to do in this area. But you know what you need to do first and foremost? You need to have a good, enjoyable dining experience with really good food. Because you know what? That's first and foremost on my summer wish list. Yeah, it's getting a nice tan, it's working on the summer body, but it's also enjoying some of these great food items at the Sea Dog on the Front Street in Bangor. If you know me a little bit, you know I'm not one to really stray off of the burgers or the grilled cheese or whatnot. And that's why there's these perfect items here that can mix something I'm very familiar with something also I'm going to enjoy, like this lobster grilled cheese. It's a sourdough grilled cheese with a lobster salad in the mix. So I get the comfort I have with a grilled cheese, but I can also include a little lobster. Get a little on the wild side there. How about a crab cake BLT? Yeah, it's a crab cake served on a house bun with bacon, lettuce, tomato, and avocado. Oh, that sounds so good. There's so many great items at the Sea Dog at Front Street in Bangor for you to try, like a baked stuffed lobster entree as well, panko salmon, skewered tips, chicken and artichoke pasta. I'm just salivating thinking about all these things on the new 2017 Sea Dog summer menu. Go check it out for yourself. Tell them the Main Event sent you, and go try out some of these delicious, delicious items and wash it down with a nice, tasty beer. I would recommend the Blue Paw. It's my absolute favorite. One of the first beers I ever consumed as a legal, consenting 21-year-old who was able to buy alcohol, it was one of the Sea Dog Blue Paws. Absolutely one of my favorites. I'm actually going to go out there and buy one immediately after the show. We got to get some business done, but once this is over, I'm going to go get a Sea Dog Blue Paw because it sounds delightful on a nice summer day like today. Go check him out, Sea Dog on the Front Street in Bangor. Here with Mike the Mustache Hansen, 5-5, be competing at the 155-pound level for the title here coming up. And Mike, we had you on last time, but we do have to talk with you a little bit about what just went on. A little heavy the first time you got down, and then you went streaking through this area here a second ago.
When I first showed up here, you know, I had a 2.5-hour drive. I left on weight, or at least what I thought was on weight. Made the 2.5-hour drive in a sweatsuit, heat on, windows up. My coach, Jason Bell, sweating right there with me on 95, heading to Bangor. And we get here, get on the scale, thinking we're going to be a few pounds under, maybe take a sip or two before the official weight. And that's not the case. I was 1.6 over, a little frustrated with the scale setup. Yeah. You know, it's always on an unlevel surface, on a carpet. And I grew up wrestling where cutting weight and like ounces mattered. So to see a scale, you know, like that set up on a hardwood floor that's crooked, where I make this money to support my kids. I got 3 kids. They want their daddy to fight. So seeing that almost be taken away from me after the best camp I've had, the weight cut wasn't hard.
Right.
It just the last few hours is where it was supposed to be. You know, it's not supposed to be easy. So that was frustrating. So I threw a little hangry tantrum. Went over to the Y here where they were great with me. Sat in the sauna with a few guys there that were like, yo, Main Event, let's help you out. They were in there pouring the water on the rocks, getting the sweat on me. We checked the scale there. I lose 2 pounds, come over, get the official weight, and all of a sudden I only lost like 0.4, but I lost 2 pounds at the Y.
Wow.
So we went back to the Y for 45 minutes and said, screw it, let's come in a pound under. We stayed there, we pushed the water out, come back, get on the scale, 184.9, hit my mark. I was a little excited, so I went off on the scale screaming. I took a turn around the corner, no towel, no underwear. Buck naked, running through the crowd, having a good time. Everyone's laughing.
And then you ran into the river, right?
Then I ran right out the back
right
door,
in the Penobscot,
off the balcony, down to the river, dove in, went for a swim, back to 195 just like that. And I come in and made my special drink.
Ooh.
Some organic blueberries I got from Taylor Carey back home. Some lemon from Good Karma.
Who Jessica Borga was raving about your drink, saying how amazing it was.
Yeah,
and I had a sip as well. It was delicious.
It.
Oh, very nice.
They watched me make it, and they're probably sitting there like, what's he putting in this? Like organic this, organic that, a little electrolytes. The only thing it's missing today is honey.
Yeah.
I forgot the honey. And I said, yo, try it out. And it's actually like, you would go to the store and buy
it. It looks good. It looks delicious.
You would go buy it. It is super sweet. electrolytes, no nonsense. Like, you guys saw how I looked earlier. I look great now. I'm already back to 200 pounds.
Mike, we're going to talk business. We're going to have, this is going to be the new mustache drink. We're going to sell it in stores. I think we'll make some good money.
That's the Berserker.
Oh,
right there, you know?
The Berserker.
You know, Berserkers had their special stuff.
Yep.
This is my special stuff. I'll go Berserk on this stuff.
Well, we don't have too much time because we're actually going to get kicked out of here. We've been here for so long. But just how are you feeling in the fight? We talked with you for a good long time here on our last episode, but how do you feel heading into this main event against CJ coming up?
I feel great. I just had the best camp I've had ever. JB really put me through it. Rich Vitella at Fire and Iron Athletics, like a half a mile just across the river from our community center where I run Berserkers, helped me out with some strength and conditioning in my weight cut over the past 2 weeks. Irreplaceable. He's going to be my corner, helps me mentally focus. Unreal. My coach Gary Dolliff, wrestling coach since I was a little peewee. Unreal. Like, that's my dream team. Jason Bell, Gary Dolliff, Rich Vitella. I can't do it without those guys. Ryan Burgess came in this morning. I woke him up at 6:30 and said, yo, I got 3 more pounds. Let's go. And he showed up at 6:30 in the morning at my gym, picked me up, and watched me soak in the hot tub and cut the rest of this weight. So I was so frustrated I got here. I had everything done right. I got here a little frustrated because I was like, yo, I'm done. What are you guys doing to me?
Yeah.
So everything fell in. You know, it worked out great. My sponsors came through. So give a shout out to them real quick. Okay?
Sure.
So these guys at Good Karma, they're not my sponsor yet, but they will be because they helped me make my drink. They're going to hear this. They're going to love it. Chris O'Leary and Lewiston does my tattoos. Like I said, the Greater Rumford Community Center is where I run my school, Fire and Iron Athletics, where Rich Vitale is at. Aaron Perot at Smart Care. Him and Amanda Hamner really helped me get my body back to healthy with therapeutic massage and sports therapy. I had a few injuries through this camp late in the camp just a few weeks ago that were pretty scary, but these guys fixed it. Trendsetters did my hair. It's not perfect anymore because of the weight cut, but it'll be on point tomorrow. Can't wait for that. Main Mountain Beverage is the ones that put me on to making drinks like this. This is my own drink, but Seth Carey makes his own version with salt water and lemon, and that is really good too. That's where I got the idea for this. And then Will's Auto Body, my cousin and his daughter, high school girl, racing cars at Oxford right here in Maine, killing it, points leader right now.
Very
so I'm going to bring home the belt. She's going to bring home her trophy this season. Northwoods Alaska Malamutes, where I have the best Alaska Malamute stud in the state. You guys want some puppies, you want them from me. And Boa Thai and Sushi in Lewiston. I'm so upset that we can't go there and eat right now. That's what we wanted. We wanted that rice and that sushi. It's the best in New England, I guarantee it. And Kildare Will did some sick shirts for us. I'm sure you guys saw them.
Yes.
I know you guys want some, so hit me up. We'll get you guys some shirts. Thanks for giving me that time to hit my sponsors up.
Absolutely.
I can't do it without them.
100%, Mike. And I got to ask you, you have such a loose, easygoing, fun type of personality. So I'm just curious, when you get ready to step into the cage, how does that change for you? Do you still go in there just kind of like, oh, this is fun, I can't wait to just get in there and throw punches and get punched and just have a great time? Or do you change into like that angry guy that wants to get in there?
That berserker.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have to. When it's time to handle business, it's time to handle business. Like, I just saw Chris Young, and like I said, those guys have the best camp in Maine. So I'm going up against a guy that is ready to beat my ass, and I'm ready to beat his ass too. So we will get to that, and when they shut the doors tomorrow night, we will go to war. And when we're done, we'll have some drinks. We're going to train together. But I'm sorry, Chris, the belt's coming home with me. So, but when that's all said and done and the doors open back up, we're all buddies again. We're in a small community. We all need to get together. This is Maine, right? We shouldn't be competing against each other. I mean, we do to learn and get better. But, you know, if I go to camp and I'm going to go fight for CES after I win this belt, or I'm going to go fight for Bellator World Series of Fighting, who do you think I'm going to call? I'm going to have JB with me, and I'm going to call Chris Young, and we're going to make sure that our main boys are ready to go down there and kill it. And that's what Young's MMA does, and Berserker's MMA does the same thing. We have everything it takes. We need bodies. We need people to walk in the door. All you got to do is give me your goals, and I'll point you up the mountain, and we'll climb it together.
Love it. Mike, thanks again for the time here. We wish you the best of luck and can't wait for the main event.
Thank you, guys. I love being on your show.
We are closing the show out with our head sponsor right here, Bert Falero, the general manager of the Sea Dog Brewing Company here in Bangor. We can't thank you enough for everything that you've done for us and also for the sport of MMA here in Maine. There's so many people. Everyone across Young's MMA owes you a big thank you.
Well, first of all, I owe them a thank you. It's a relationship that goes both ways, not just with them, but also with you guys, with the NEF. It's been, I think it's been eye-opening, not just for Sea Dog and Bango, but I think maybe Sea Dog overall. We brought some, you know, decent numbers in a lot of ways. Hopefully, the rest of the Sea Dog the rest of the Sea Dog see what it does, you know, to the bottom line, but also for the community. For me, it has it has been about growing a relationship with Youngs, with you guys, and it's been great. And I look forward going forward to keep that relationship going. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm really excited about tomorrow's card.
Yeah. Very much so.
NEF Bangor 30.
Yeah.
NEF 30 in Bangor, the Rumble in Bangor. Totally excited. It was great that we had the weigh-ins here today.
Yeah, how do you think it went? I was just about to ask how was the weigh-ins?
Everybody loved it.
Yeah.
It's funny because Matt said we only needed room for 40 people, and in the back of my head, I was like, he doesn't know Youngs.
No.
So it was easy just to open up the door there, and I thought it went extremely well.
Yeah.
Over 100 people, easily over 100 people in the space that we were. And the fighters from not just Youngs, but from the other gyms were very receptive, were very excited to come to Bangor, but also they said we did a great job, the Sea Dog. And I can't do it without the rest of my staff who loves that we do this. And of course, we sponsor four fighters for Young, but we also have one of the fighters who is not fighting, who actually works for us. So we're pretty excited, you know, going forward to keep this relationship going.
And tell us, Bert, obviously you love MMA, but how did your love for MMA first come about? Take us back to the young Bert when you first got into the sport and you were excited about it and you liked watching it. How did you get into it?
Well, first of all, I used to wrestle in high school, and then I wrestled in the Marine Corps. So watching these guys cut weight and knowing the discipline that it takes, that kind of was in the back of my mind. But while I was in the Marine Corps at Quantico, Virginia, Brian Stan and had being a former Marine at Quantico would bring people in, so we would be able to get in there and roll around, and you know, being Marines, we thought we were tough, but some of these guys beat the crap out of us. But it went another, you know, a relationship that went both ways. So they were very awed by the training that we went through in the Marine Corps, and we call the MAG school, which is a hand-to-hand combat school that we had in Quantico. But BJ Penn came through there. He not only beat 12 of us in a row, but he submitted 12 of us in a row. And I'll never forget looking at him going, ha, this guy's going to be nothing. Yeah, that was far from the truth.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've, you know, been a wrestler and then watching the sport grow from you know, the days of Royce Gracie, those days. I've, you know, been watching it since then, and I've always had a love because of the wrestling side of me watching it. But as the sport has grown, I've really taken to it. That's what you can find me doing at home. People won't ask me what I do on my time off. My wife will tell you I will be watching UFC, Bellator, Professional Fighters League. I'm so into it.
Do you ever feel like you wish MMA had been bigger when you were a little younger so you could have tried your hand at it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. So I'm living my life through the guys that I sponsor, I think. You know what? The guy from Youngs, who's 50-something
I was about to say, Pat Kelly.
You know, that guy's awesome. You know, so I'm kind of living my life through him. Yeah, I know. Yeah. The only problem with that is I couldn't find the time to train. If you're working with this job, I mean,
yeah.
I'd love to do it, but then I'd probably be poor.
Now, obviously, you know, you have relationships with all these guys that you're sponsoring here at Youngs, but you're also a very objective man as well. How good do you think Ryan Sanders, Aaron Lacy, Josh Harvey, all these guys can eventually be? Do you think that we're going to see them in the Bellator and UFC promotions like myself and Brian do one day?
I absolutely do. Ryan Sanders, to me, is the most underrated fighter, you know, in New England, actually the United States. To me, he took like a different type of route where instead of like padding his record, he went after anybody and everybody, and he fought everybody and everybody at a young age, whereas everybody wouldn't take that challenge. So the great thing about Ryan, he is very humble. He knows he knows what type of fighter he is, and to me, he's very cerebral. and I enjoy watching him fight. Same with Josh Harvey, another kid that that I'm excited going forward, and also with Aaron Lacy. Those kids, I'm very proud of them. Not just because they fight, you know, that we CDOC sponsored them, but I'm very proud to just know those kids. Very humble, very, you know, down to earth kids, and they're hard workers. I call them grinders, and so that's why I respect them.
I'm gonna put you on the spot here. It's gonna be like picking a child, but out of this fight card right here, which one are you looking forward to the most? You have to pick one.
This is gonna surprise everybody.
Okay.
I am looking forward to watch Angela Young in her last fight.
It's a good choice.
So the reason why is Angela is the one that got the ball started with the sponsorship. I met her at a Christmas party with my wife, and I made the mistake in saying that I'd sponsored some people from Young, but actually I wouldn't have any other way. I am excited to see Angela. I wish she wasn't her last fight, but I get it. She has a hard job that she does every day as a nurse, and I respect that because my wife does the same work, and she does a great job. She's a great ambassador for the sport, but I get it. And of all of the fights I'm looking forward to, I hate to say it, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. But the other fights, I'm excited to see Aaron take on a challenge. I think that to see where he puts himself with stepping up in competition. I think that Ryan Sanders is going to make short work of whoever he's fighting. That's just my personal opinion, and I just see he's always in the gym, and he needs to go to the next level. So Dana White, I know you don't know who I am, but if you're listening, you need to, to me, you made the wrong choice the last time you were here. You should have brought him in.
I like it.
I got to ask you too about Chris Young, because you obviously know Chris very well. He's the head honcho over there at Young's MMA. He's the guy that trains all these fighters that are really blossoming into superstars here. How great of an individual is he? And his coaching style and what he's doing for all these fighters. Just talk about him a little bit and how instrumental he's been in these fighters' lives.
Well, first of all, Chris is. I look at Chris and I think of Yoda.
very quiet, big Yoda.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Doesn't say a lot, but when he does say something, it means something. And I mean that with all the respect in the world. The guy is not a showboater. He's very in the back. So somebody like that, you have to respect. It's kind of like me as a manager. I'm not. As quiet as he is, of course, but he sits in the background and he doesn't take any, he doesn't take any away from his fighters. It's never been about Chris. It's always been about his fighters, which is the right thing to do. But to look at those fighters, everybody knows they have to come through him. And I think he is the kind of person that looks at somebody's strengths and weaknesses and just makes them overall a better fighter. To look at some of these fighters at other gyms, they're either great jiu-jitsu guys or great boxers or great kickboxers or great wrestlers. To look at the MMA guys, they're all strong in each aspect of the sport. So kudos to him. He doesn't get enough credit that he should, because it's not like the other gyms where they might have one or two great fighters. That is a gym of champions. That is a gym of that's a family. He's built a family there, and everybody wants to be part of that family, including CDOC. He's just done it right. He's done it the correct way.
And speaking of the CDOC, it's going to be a busy day here tomorrow. Not only NEF 30, but there's going to be a concert on the waterfront. But this is going to be the official after-party headquarters, correct, of the NEF tomorrow?
Absolutely, yep. We are looking forward to the fights. I didn't even know there was a concert going on. Thanks for reminding me. We will be busy. I think, the concert is more of a younger crowd.
It is, yeah.
So all
maybe not
kids,
a drinking age.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a lot of moms and dads taking their kids to see the concert. But anyway, we're looking forward to the after party. I, saw you guys last time in Lewiston at Buffalo Wild Wings. It was a lot of fun. So it's nice to not to have to drive.
Yes.
All the way down there. But it's always nice to have it in your backyard. To highlight Bangor, to highlight Young's MMA, and to highlight CDOC. We appreciate you guys, everything you do for us. And like I said, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I always am. not only am I a sponsor, I'm a big fan. Yeah.
Now, will the after party be in the room we're in currently?
No, it'll be by the bar.
By the bar, okay.
Absolutely.
Of course, closer to the alcohol.
That's right.
Okay. Come on.
Well, I didn't know. The Sea Dog is such a huge place. They could put it, they got a bar over there, they got a bar downstairs, they got
the
a bar
The whole place
you
will
go.
Be an after party, right?
Well, hopefully that. Hopefully the fight card will still be on tomorrow when it's done, but I'm not sure that what the fight card, I know tomorrow UFC has a...
Oh, it's one in Mexico City.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully that'll still be on.
Very nice.
When it's done, so we could show it on the large screen and... you know, whatever. We just have a lot more TVs over there by the big bar, so looking forward to that too.
Well, it's going to be another fun night here in Bangor. It's been almost a year to the day when NEF was...
And it will be a year
It will
today.
Be a year to the day when NEF was last in town. And here we are, NEF 30, tomorrow night at the Cross Insurance Center. Bert Ferrero, general manager of the Sea Dog, it's a pleasure.
Always Ryan. Brian.
Thanks again,
Bert.
Thank
you, guys. We look forward to our relationship going forward. So... let's get ready to rumble in Bangor.
Let's do it.
We can exhale. That was a lot of interviews. I want to thank all the guests we had on the show. I'm just going to start from the card from top to bottom. No necessarily in order of how they went, but Mike the Mustache Hansen. I want to thank the Ryan Sanders, Chris Young as well, Walt Shea, and Josh Jones, Carlton Charles. Also want to give a shout out to Jessica Borga, Pete Zimbor, Bert Ferrero. Am I missing anyone, Ryan, here? If I did, I apologize because we had so many people on
Jay
this
Ellis.
One. And Jay Ellis, thank you. So we had a lot of great stuff here today, and that is going to do it here for this edition of the main event.
Can't wait for tomorrow.
And we'll actually have another episode tomorrow, and I am super pumped for this one, Ryan, because we've got some big-time guests as well.
Yeah, oh my God, we have monster guests on the show tomorrow. Volkan Ozdemir, the guy who might be taking on Jon Jones next. If he doesn't go up to heavyweight and
fight... He took
fight,
out Jimmy Manoa.
That's right. Huh. First-round knockout. It was very impressive. Also, we have Dean Thomas, one of the head coaches at American Top Team, head coach of UFC welterweight champion Tyron Woodley on the show. We also have Drew Dober, a UFC 214 winner, and one of our favorite guests, Mr. Fernando Gonzalez, back on the main event for the fourth time, I believe.
Yeah. Can't miss show coming your way, and we do back-to-back ones because we love you.
That's exactly right. To our loyal listeners.
With that in mind, be sure to go on iTunes, give us a subscribe, give us a rating as well, let us know what you think, and we'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks again.
Peace.